Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom Appel. Thanks for joining us today. When you have a chance, you guys know the drill. Check us out at consumerguide.com. Tell your friends about it. If they're looking for a car, you want to read those reviews and you want to check out our 2025 Best Buy list. Also, you can listen to back episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage, although you should probably subscribe. I'm just going to break the cadence right away and go, happy birthday, Jill.
Woo! Thank you.
That's today, Monday.
As we record this.
Happy birthday.
It's the most important thing happening today.
How old are you, Jill?
I am 39.
39. Again.
Yeah. Again. I'm not 39, but a woman never shares her age.
Yeah. I'm going to be 60 in days. Weeks.
Months.
Weeks. Just
hours?
Before the auto show.
Just before the auto show.
Yeah. And speaking of the auto show, in a moment, Jennifer Morand of the Chicago Auto Show joins us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
But just real quick, it's cold.
It is really cold. So I have to tell you, I did not go for a run today.
We're in Chicago, by the way.
Which is going to make you very happy.
Yeah.
But I did go for a walk. It was 9 degrees during my walk.
Yeah, I'm driving the Subaru BRZ STI.
Yes.
Little coupe, which I can fall into easily enough. But scrambling out of it's a little tricky with just given my general size and the bad knee.
Right.
However, stick shift.
Oh.
So lots of fun. It's a great shifter. A little notchy, very precise. It feels like fun to roll through the gears. Boy, that shifter doesn't like the cold.
Winter tires?
Yes.
Because that's rear-wheel drive.
Yes.
I have that coming up on my schedule, and I was a little bit nervous to see it there.
It's been fine. I did on a freshly dry, salty surface, which can be more dangerous than ice.
Yeah.
I did lose it.
Okay.
So the back end came out a little bit on me. It is indeed rear drive and prone to oversteer. Nice car, fun car.
But the shifter doesn't like the cold.
And I didn't drive it very far. I'm pretty sure another 5-10 minutes, everything would have been fine.
You got it today?
No. I got it last week. I actually give it up tomorrow.
Oh.
And this is awesome for the cold. I'm getting the F-150 Lightning electric vehicle. That vehicle, I've read complaints about it in cold weather.
I have complaints about it in cold weather.
Specifically about battery capacity. So I will be testing it at the most opportune moment.
Yeah. No, I had it a couple years ago, and I had it was like 302 mile range or whatever the super range is. Maybe it's 320 mile range. And I only got 160 miles out of it.
Yeah, the cold is bad.
Yeah.
Cold is bad.
There's no bueno.
All right. We're going to talk auto show in a moment with Jennifer Morand of the Chicago Auto Show. You're going?
I am going.
They're taking up the entire South Hall this year.
Yes.
So it's going to be very packed. For people who are unfamiliar with the Chicago Auto Show, there is a grand hall for the Chicago Auto Show that they generally pack full, and that's what this is this year.
Yeah. So is it in the North and South Halls this year?
I think no North Hall this year.
Okay.
I think everything is in the South Hall.
Okay.
So it's going to feel a little busier, a little bustlier.
Bustlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. But on the phone with us right now is Jennifer Morand of the Chicago Auto Show. Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you both?
We're good. We're guessing you're slightly more busy than we are.
No. Not just a small event that we're hosting next month. No big deal, right?
Yeah, like you just had your first kickoff meeting, today, right?
Yeah, planning started yesterday.
Yeah.
No, believe it or not, we do pretty much plan for this event all year round.
Really? Oh. It just seems so easy to put together something.
Yeah, you'd have just thrown it together. Oh, yeah.
Auto show
tomorrow. Woo.
How many cars typically is that on the floor?
Oh, my goodness. That's such a great question. It really ranges. But, you know, we typically have, on average, about nearly 1,000 vehicles. But, we'll see what this year brings. But, you know, I heard you mentioning that it will be packed in the South Hall, and that is the case. We are jammed in that area. And it's interesting. What people may or may not know is, we, you know, you might remember when it was two halls, but we only used up a portion of both halls. So it's a little bit misleading to say, oh, it's just one hall, you know, one hall versus two halls, when in reality we're over 800,000 square feet, so just shy of 1 million square feet. So when you put it into perspective, it's really shaping up to be a positive show.
That's something like 5 Walmarts. I did the math on this one. It's a fair amount of space. So tell us about the show. We've got it coming up. It is February 8th through February 17th. It opens every day at 10. The closing hours vary, but what are we looking forward to here?
Well, it is going to be a lively event. We have manufacturers that are returning this year. Camp Jeep is back, which is such a fan favorite, especially celebrating its 20th year at the Chicago Auto Show this year. So that's a lot of fun for everybody. We also have the Ford Bronco test track returning. So, you know, this kind of rivalry with, you know, Jeep versus Bronco. So that's going to be kind of fun. So, you know, put it to the test, see for yourself which you prefer. And then we're actually featuring two electric vehicle tracks this year. We actually had to break it up into two different tracks because we had so many different takers. You know, the rise of EVs and plug-in hybrids, you know, as it continues here. And we have so many different models that have come out just even since last year at the 2024 Chicago Auto Show to this year. So there's just a lot of experiences for people to do and see. And then outdoors is going to be packed as well. So, again, you can ride along indoors or take a test drive on vehicles outdoors. That'll just one quick escalator down from the show floor.
Really cool. So tell us about the other stuff. I heard the word beer earlier. There's something about beer.
Yes. Well, you know, the cars are the star, Tom, but there is something for everybody at the Chicago Auto Show. You mentioned beer. We have a Friday night flight event that is taking place the final Friday of our auto show on February 14th. So it's actually also Valentine's Day, or I know a lot of people do Galentine's Day. So take some friends, come on out, take your, you know, your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend to the auto show and participate in that. We have samples from a variety of craft beer vendors, at least 10 we had last year, could be up to a dozen local craft breweries. So, you know, the Chicago Auto Show is very Chicago. It's tradition here for many people. And so it's great to bring in and feature local breweries also that are based in the Chicago area. And then, you know, if beer isn't your thing, we actually have a run. So we're doing a miles per hour run. And Jill, I know you're thrilled that it's coming back.
Yes.
It was her brain child years ago, and we finally got it pulled together. Actually, it was during the 2020 show, right before the pandemic hit. Was our first year we hosted it. And it has just grown. It's a great partnership with the Chicago Area Runners Association. So that's been a lot of fun, too.
Have you guys considered, speaking of the run, and this might be a crazy idea that you don't even want to think about, but I'm just throwing it out there, chasing the runners with one of the cars off the floor. Like a running to the bulls. But
so a real reason to run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like a Chevy Tahoe or something, chasing runners, nudging them out of the way. And not everyone has to participate.
No, that's I wasn't thinking you were going there. You know, I was thinking something with like merging beer and running, which happens.
That's a better idea.
Beer mile.
We're trying to get some beer at the celebration in Toyota's display afterwards. But stay tuned. More to come on that.
That would be awesome. I bet you would get more people to sign up that way. So free beer and free auto show entry.
Exactly. The other thing that's fantastic is that the runners actually can bring friends and family for a discount that day, too. So it's really fun because it's before the show opens to the public. The run actually kicks off at 8 a.m., and it's a 2.4-mile loop actually through the auto show. So, you know, just to clarify, you're not running amidst, you know, thousands of people. You're there really virtually with only 700 people, which is the runners that we expect to participate this year. So it's a great way to see the show.
And Jill will be signing autographs.
Yeah, I will be there. I am running. I'm going to wear donut tights to honor the show.
Oh.
So I'm going to be wearing my donut running tights.
Jennifer, I forgot about this, but the show also runs through the Super Bowl. And if people want to get there at like a time when they can be guaranteed it's probably not crowded, right? Super Sunday is a good time to go.
Sunday is a great time to go. And that's actually when the miles per hour run is taking place. So, you know, a great time to go. You can obviously stay after the run to see the show. But if you're not running, no problem. The Super Bowl Sunday is a great day. It's less attended on that day. And just a note, though, we do close at 6 p.m. because a lot of people do want to get to watch the big game. So that is the one outlier. Typically, we'll close at 9 p.m.
Now, you guys have something called the Family Zone. Jill was telling me that this is a fertility clinic, which sounds wrong to me.
Oh, man.
Well, you could go there and you know, if it might deter you from having kids. No, we expect being very packed. It's going to be a lot of fun. We will have a variety of features in the area. So, for example, we'll have the Chevy Silverado Lego truck is going to be featured. And we'll also have a Toyota Tacoma that has a fishing game out of the bed of the truck in the back. It's going to be a lot of great fun for kids. And we're also featuring a Power Wheels track. So the young kids can actually take their own test drives on a variety of vehicles on this, kid and family-friendly test track.
I bet I could fit in that. I could do that.
I can see an Instagram post or TikTok.
I know. I'm already angling. I can fit in that.
and I'm going to throw out a word. Maybe you can just fill in the words around it. Puppies?
Ooh.
Puppies will return as well. And Subaru, Subaru has a dog adoption every day of the auto show, even on First Look for Charity and during our media preview days as well. So I know that the Chicago Auto Show is one of the events that they actually adopt dogs out of, which says a lot about the people in Chicago, and also probably just the amount of people who come through the show. So it's a great way. And, you know, if you're wanting to adopt a dog or not, it's a fun thing. They actually have a little pendant area where kids can actually get in and play with the puppies, too. So it kind of adds another fun factor on the show floor.
I want to play with the puppies.
I usually do go play with the puppies. I have, like, a great photo one year of a puppy eating my hair.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jennifer, one of the things that we never cover when we chat with you each year is the fact that going to McCormick Place, if people haven't done it, is easy. And there's, and like the Detroit Auto Show, there's lots and lots of parking.
There's a lot of parking around there, which is fantastic. Now, the one thing is we don't control the parking, garages, but luckily McCormick Place does have tons of parking on site. So there's a lot A, B, and C right around there. There's also Millennium Park parking, for the weekend. Sometimes those lots do get crowded. But I would recommend, before you're coming down, check our X account because we do kind of post live updates in terms of traffic. So if we know that all of our lots are booked, we will send a quick post out, even on Facebook, too, or just message us directly on Instagram or Facebook just to check on the parking. And our team's monitoring our social channels around the clock, so we'll be able to answer you pretty quickly and help navigate.
Cool. And then, like last year or the last couple of years, you have to buy tickets in advance, correct?
Well, you can actually buy it on site.
Okay.
You can purchase a ticket. You can purchase it online at ChicagoAutoShow.com. That's the best way to get it. You'll get your tickets right through your phone, and you can just scan your QR code on site. But we will have a box office open again. We don't do a ton of on-site sales because it just seems like people are, they prepare in advance. It's easier to buy online. And then we also have our mobile app as well, the Chicago Auto Show mobile app. You can navigate to purchase a ticket there as well. So many options to get into the show.
Can you tell us about a couple of cool cars that will be on the floor that we should see?
Yeah, the Ford Expedition's getting a lot of interest and traction, so that's going to be there. The 2026 Hyundai Ioniq N9, which is all new, will also be at the auto show this year. That's going to be great. And then there are a few that I can't even talk about because they haven't even debuted yet. So I would just give a little teaser that, we're going to have some Subaru is going to have a couple global debuts that are going to take place in a couple weeks here at our media preview. But we're going to have Toyota 4Runner, the next generation, which is fun. We also have a few Toyota SEMA builds that are coming from that event.
Oh, cool. Those are great.
So we're going to have a couple concepts as well. So I think, all this is coming together. We're very excited because our media preview is just around the corner where we're going to be announcing that. And then a couple from Cadillac. So the Optiq, I think is how you pronounce it, and then the Vistiq. So we have a few of those as well coming. Acura ADX, which is all new, will be featured on our show floor. And then I know that the BMW X3, which is new and updated, will also grace the show floor. So, like I said, more to come on some of those debuts, but it should be a great lineup.
Well, that's a nice haul. All right, so real quick, if you're out of town, how can people follow the auto show?
So you can follow the auto show on all of our social media channels, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. But you can also get updates at ChicagoAutoShow.com. We actually have an events page where we'll post our daily events and some fun features throughout, but it's going to be a great show. It'll be, probably more full than people remember in the past, and we're just excited to have this fun packed show. Just a quick note, we have three new brands this year, Polestar, Rivian, and VinFast, which is a Vietnamese brand, are all coming into the Chicago Auto Show this year. So fans who are coming will see, their favorites, the tried and true manufacturers that they know and love, but there's also a few new brands there that they can actually ride along in or test drive outside as
yeah.
well.
If people are thinking EV, they should really look at Polestar. They've had a slow launch, but it's a beautiful product.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Jennifer, thank you so much. So we should all go to ChicagoAutoShow.com.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the website.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you.
All right. That was Jennifer Moran with the Chicago Auto Show. You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be there.
Yes.
Maybe we can roll me there in a beer barrel.
I would pay to see that, actually.
I would pay to see that. All right. But the thing about the Chicago Auto Show, and Nick DiGilio had never gone.
Oh.
And then he went last year for the first time with his girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
They spent 8 hours there.
Yeah.
And they just had fun.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing that Jennifer didn't mention, and this is my favorite thing every year, is the First Look for Charity, which is the Friday night before it opens to the public. And that was my dad's favorite thing to do. So I started taking him like 20 years ago and would bring him back with me. And it was funny because like he would be my date and everybody's like, aren't you actually dating somebody? And I'm like, yep, my dad gets first dibs. So since then, I've always gone. And so we'll go again this year.
Also, First Look is now on Friday. There was a period of time when it was on Thursday.
And that was weird.
That was messy.
It was very messy.
Because we would go back to work there on Friday.
Yeah, well, some of us would.
Yeah.
Some of us would not.
I used to, and I miss these days. I used to, that Friday morning,
yeah.
I used to do WGN radio.
Okay.
So I would drive down from, I would stay that's a Hyatt, right? I would stay at the Hyatt and then drive down to WGN.
Yeah.
Or catch a, we didn't have Uber yet, but
yeah.
Those were good times.
Yeah, yeah. So I love the First Look for Charity, and it all goes to a good cause. You can pick a specific charity, or you can, just buy tickets, and it goes to all the charities.
All right. So. Chicago Auto Show coming up. That is February 8th through February 17th. In a moment, we speak with Kristen Shaw.
Yes.
Freelance writer. Very good freelance writer.
Yes.
She wrote an article recently for Popular Science about how Toyota is trying to make its vehicles more quiet. So we're going to talk about that.
Yes, we all need more quiet.
All right, we'll be back in a moment.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Did you know the Chicago Auto Show offers much more than just cars? Every year there's something new to experience, and 2025 is no different. This year, take a thrilling ride on one of two indoor mountain climbs with either Ford or Jeep and decide who conquers the challenge best. Come experience the latest electrified vehicles on two indoor tracks where you'll feel the power and performance. Take a trip into the national parks and adopt a dog with Subaru. Dream about a lavish lifestyle at the Supercar Gallery. Get behind the wheel to test drive vehicles on city streets. And don't miss new exhibits at the show, like Overlanding Chicago or the Family Zone. Join us for an indoor run, craft beer tasting, career day, and so much more. It's an experience you won't forget. The Chicago Auto Show, February 8th through the 17th at McCormick Place. Find out more and buy tickets online at chicagoautoshow.com.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. Happy birthday, Jill.
Yay. Thank you.
We're going to talk Toyota quietness in a moment, but give me a hand here real quick.
I will give you a hand, but first I have to say, apparently I'm not talking loud enough today, or I didn't have the microphone appropriately positioned. I was too quiet.
What?
I've never heard anybody say that to me in my life.
No. I mentioned that my sister is a teacher and needs to find her inside voice.
Yeah. But no, now I can help you. Speaking of loud things, you're on social media.
I am, and I'm not going to make a big deal about it.
Okay.
Car Guy Tom.
Yes.
Car Guy Tom on Twitter/X and Blue Sky now.
Yes.
Blue Sky. Now Steve and Johnny are on there as Steve and Johnny and Steve and Johnny. So they now have three accounts
on Blue
Sky. They have
three accounts. Okay.
So they have like 20% of all Blue Sky accounts right now.
Probably.
All right. On the phone with us is Kristen Shaw. She's an independent auto writer who writes frequently for Popular Science. She just wrote an article, and you can tell this is for a magazine because this is not an online headline. Are you ready?
Okay.
Toyota uses noise canceling. I'm starting over. Toyota uses noise and vibration engineers in its pursuit of cabin silence that rivals luxury cars. It's a lot of headline.
That is a lot of headline.
Kristen,
that's a good
how
headline.
Are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
I'm speaking for Jill. We're well.
Well, I'm speaking for Tom, and I'm cold.
She's it's her birthday. She's been drinking since like 7:30.
Well, you know, me and my electrolytes.
I know.
Yeah.
She's always cold. I know this.
Where are you? Are you cold?
I'm in Austin, Texas, and it's supposed to snow tonight, and everybody's very excited about that.
There's a thing we've talked about here, and like every 4 or 5 years, it snows in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
It snows in Atlanta, and there's always these helicopter shots of cars in ditches. Because all these cars are front-wheel drive. They don't salt.
Yeah.
People don't know how to drive in the snow because they never do it. And then the apocalypse hits, and there's 1 inch of snow, and everyone's in a ditch.
Yes.
I don't know how that works in Texas, though.
Same. I lived in Atlanta for 10 years, and I've lived in Austin for 16. And, yes, nobody knows how to drive in the snow. So everything shuts down.
Mm.
Yep.
Well, in fact, school's already closed for tomorrow, even before we have any snow.
Oh, I haven't checked, but I suppose, because tomorrow's going to be the coldest day of the year, I think, in Chicago. They're probably closing schools. Mm-hmm. They tend to do that. Because eventually,
I remember when I was young, we had to go to school when it was, like, really cold and play outside, and they wouldn't let us back in.
I knew you were that old.
Yeah, I'm that old.
So, Kristen, you recently wrote a very interesting article. I reread it again this morning about Toyota and their pursuit of quietness. Tell us what Toyota's going after and what you covered here in your article.
So I interviewed Scott Smith. He's an engineer in Toyota's vehicle performance department, and he specifically focuses on noise and vibration. We often hear the acronym NVH,
mm-hmm.
noise, vibration, and harshness. But Scott's only in charge of the noise and vibration part.
Okay.
And what he says is that there is a direct correlation between vehicle quietness, especially in the cabin, and the perception of durability and reliability.
Mm.
So that's very important to Toyota.
So where is Toyota right now with this in your mind, or maybe perhaps in Toyota's mind, if you spoke to those folks, do they feel that this is an opportunity where they may have... they may have some need to keep up, or is this them trying to pull ahead and become the quietest brand?
They're definitely trying to pull ahead. They've been benchmarking other vehicles for a long, long time, and they have a set of statistics and things that they compare against to make sure that Toyota's vehicles are as quiet as they can be. And we know that Toyota does hybrid setups very well. You know, so the motors are quiet, working in tandem with the engines, they do pretty well, but they keep on tweaking the tiniest things, you know, like the seals and the way that wind goes over your windshield wipers. I mean, it's the things that we would never think about.
Mm.
They're really majoring in the minors in the best ways possible.
So it's funny because you talk about the little things that they're doing, and the question I wanted to ask is, what is the biggest thing that they've done that has really helped to make Toyotas quieter?
The biggest thing, I would say at this point, everything is small, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So tightening the gasket seals on the door handles improves wind noise. And all of these things work together. They're working with the people in aerodynamics. They're working with the harshness people. And even the ones that work on like the squeaks and rattles inside a car, that's a whole nother department. You know, so all of these things together to drill down into the tiniest pieces of noise that you might not have known could be adjusted.
Mm.
There's a strange environment here, too, that you mentioned, and you specifically mentioned the Camry, and for 2025, the Camry became hybrid only.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the opportunities in a Camry, of course, is that when the vehicle is running on electric power alone, it's incredibly silent for a while, and what noise that can filter in, usually from the ground through the tires or gravel, that stuff becomes more important. And one of the interesting things I noticed in test driving the Camry Hybrid was that it is very quiet when it pulls away from a stop, and then you hear the engine kick in. And it's kind of startling, even though the engine isn't especially loud, you do hear a little bit of the burble from the exhaust, and you do hear the engine kick in, and then it often shuts off after you've made a corner. You're accelerating, and then it stops, and you're back to electric only old. Is this the kind of thing that they're looking at? What is it that, when you talk about Toyota addressing the little things, what are the opportunities that they can quell?
It could be anything from the shape of your door handles to the way the wind flows over the car, through the back of the car, inside, the way wind comes in through the gaskets. It could be if they have a sunroof, It could be the way they adjust the silencers. So there's a sensor in front of the dash, like between your feet and the engine. Like there's a whole silencer there, and there's other silencers throughout the car, and they keep trying to use different kinds of materials to make sure that the car is as quiet as possible, because as you know, when people are shopping for cars, that's one thing they look for. They're saying, I want a car that's really quiet inside. And yeah. What people forget, too, is that if, especially if it's an electric engine or a hybrid, then you're going to hear other noises yep. that come into play.
Yep.
One of the things, one of the words you use, and it's a great word, and I think it captures how finite this can be. You wrote, and I quote, the update design ensures air doesn't, quote, snag, avoiding wind noise as it funnels through it. And I think you were talking about the A-pillar here, and I love the word snag, because it talks about just a very small piece of perhaps insulation or gasketing that can upset everything.
Exactly. The wind makes such a huge difference on your cabin noise, and the way the wind flows, if it catches or snags, it's going to make some kind of noise. It's going to be an interruption in the flow, right? A hitch or a hiccup, really.
Did Toyota, when in doing this the research for this article, did Toyota talk at all about customer perceptions of quietness? Like, what are, when people are in a car and sort of perceiving the vehicle's quality, structural integrity, general sense of having been well built, is quietness one of the key attributes?
Definitely. And I think people don't often know what that quality is. It's an intrinsic quality that people can't place. You know, but they'll notice if it's loud, and you notice it when you read reviews of different cars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's too loud, or I can't hear the people that I'm talking to. So they use different technologies and techniques to fix that. One of them is the work that Scott does here, but also there's frequency canceling. Now, mm-hmm. that's not in the Camry, but they'll use different frequencies to cancel out, like, frequencies that might bother someone in a cabin.
And I feel like that's kind of a new trend. I forget what vehicle launch I was on recently, but they were talking about the noise canceling, and it kind of filters through your speakers, almost like your noise canceling headphones or something like that. But I find that to be a fascinating trend.
Yeah, for people who don't know
right.
what that is, it's actively created noise to counter other noise.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing, and I don't. Honda was using it in the Odyssey. I don't know if they still do. But it is a thing that has become common enough that is affordable enough to put into mainstream vehicles now. So
agreed. One of these days, I'd really like to see some of these testing chambers that Toyota
yeah.
is using
mm-hmm.
to figure this out. They've got the Anakaya, I don't even know how to say the word, but there's a certain kind of chamber they use that's almost completely silent. Like, it'll mess with your ears if you go in and you're not prepared. But they have different shakedown tests and a chassis dyno and all kinds of things that test the car to see where potential bugs or problems could be.
This is really cool stuff. So what's your takeaway? Where's Toyota going with this? Are we going to see, you talked specifically about the Camry, but are they looking at other models too?
For sure. And I think that Lexus benefits from this even more because mm-hmm. it's a more upscale vehicle. They're going to use more upscale materials, including the silencers, to do that. I think Toyota has come such a long way from being that the cheap brand that it was back in the 80s to now, and they just keep on refining their cars to the point that they're not going to go beyond what makes it affordable, but they're doing everything they can to find these tiny little things to make it better and better.
Okay, I'm going to start drifting off topic here, but stick with me. one of the things, and the new Camry makes me think about this, because the top trim level was at the XSE XLE. XLE, I think, is mm-hmm. the top trim level of the Camry. And there's a package you can add that to that vehicle that gets it to $42,000, which gets you basically in rock-throwing range of the Lexus ES.
Mm-hmm.
But that vehicle is very good. It is very quiet and is very refined. And we've noticed that last year, in terms of car sales, BMW and Mercedes had a bad year. And I just want to get your guys' take, especially as mainstream vehicles become more refined and Toyotas, especially the Camry, become quieter and quieter. Are we looking at a thing where the mainstream vehicles are chasing premium vehicles up market and perhaps up into price ranges where they're going to become untenable?
I think the pendulum swings, right? And so, like, I can definitely see you always have the, like you look at the Nissan Armada Infiniti QX80, you know, the top tier of the Armada, like always almost butts up against or overlaps with the bottom tier of the QX80.
And for people who don't know, those are fundamentally the same vehicle.
Yeah. And so you typically, like, you see that a lot, but yeah, I mean, mainstream prices are definitely going up. And then what happens is they launch like another vehicle underneath that vehicle that costs less.
So, Kristen, did you spend time in a Camry? Have you driven the new Camry?
I did. I've driven the new Camry, and I drove it with Chief Engineer, who introduced me to Scott, because we started talking about how quiet it was and some of the advancements they'd made, and he said, well, you need to talk to Scott. And because I really love all that nerdy engineering stuff, I said, of course.
So your thoughts on that car and the general refinement on the NV without an H?
I think at the NV side, they've done a really good job. And for the price, the Camry's always been a very good buy. I think it's a better buy than it's ever been at this point.
One of the interesting things, too, of the last maybe 15, 20 years, and the brand more or less sort of promotes this and then doesn't promote it, but Buick will sometimes, when it launches a vehicle, make a big deal of their quiet tuning.
Yeah.
And I don't think quiet tuning is any specific process. It's just them going really hard on noise. And having recently driven the Buick Envista, which is a shockingly affordable, relatively small, you wouldn't think would be that luxurious a car, it's pretty darn quiet. And it's awfully quiet for the money. And I think that this is a trend we're seeing. And I think that to some extent, luxury has become increasingly associated with that kind of quietness. But have you guys driven anything lately that surprised you that was especially quiet?
That Buick, I agree with you. My parents have an Envision, and my mother-in-law is about to replace her Lincoln Corsair with a Buick Envision. And that brand has prided itself on its what it calls spa-like interiors for quite some time. And they are underrated in that aspect, I think.
I think you make a great point. In the case of the Corsair, which is based on the Ford Escape, they have tuned that vehicle. And I haven't driven a Corsair in a little bit, maybe in a year or so. But that is a surprisingly quiet, smooth riding vehicle. I mean, they've totally nailed it, and they've made a very specific. I think they've drawn a line in the sand in terms of NVH. Like the Lincoln is very Lincoln-like, and the Ford's fine. The Ford's not loud. But it is not as quiet as the Lincoln. And I think that we talked about the Envista is quieter than the Chevy Trax, and they're fundamentally the same vehicle.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting way to define luxury.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things about Lincoln that always grabs me, it's like you shut the door and it's a solid thwap.
On what car?
Anything from Lincoln.
Okay.
And I feel like, you know, I feel like when I've written reviews about these vehicles, I think I use the word entombed, because you really feel like you're kind of like closed in and cut off from the world, because the doors are so solid and they shut, and then like it's instant silence on the inside.
You know, Kristen, one thing I've noticed about Toyota products for a long time now, but especially true, like the new Camry did this too, it's not that easy to slam the door shut.
Mm.
And I think that is a function of the gasketing. I think that there's so much rubber there that you slam the door shut on that it just once it's shut, it's in place. There is no noise.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but it does take more effort to close the door on a Toyota. Which I actually, it sounds like it's a hassle, but it actually imparts to me a sense of quality, of solidity.
But it's a workout. It's your extra workout today.
Which I need. I desperately need.
You do.
One more aspect that I think is really interesting about what Toyota is doing, and other manufacturers as well, is that they're using computer-aided engineering to predict what changes might sound like inside the cabin as they make adjustments. Right. So for Scott, he was telling me that he doesn't have to go traveling to different test tracks all the time. You know, they do a lot of prediction inside with these computer-aided engineering tools and 3D printed models, too. You know, so technology is playing a major part in how they do these testing and developments. And I think that is also going to morph over time.
Kristen, if people want to read this article, how can they find it?
Well, if they go to popsci.com under the technology section, you can look for my articles. I write for Popular Science every week. And this week I'm working on a story about Ford's purpose-built Raptor that they used in the Dakar rally that just finished about a week ago, or less than a week ago.
Cool. When you say purpose-built, it's significantly different than the production version?
It's definitely much different than the production version. It's wider, and it's got, the engine is tuned. It still has the Coyote engine, but it's different. And two Fox jocks at every corner. I mean, so it's hitting some of the most difficult terrain in the world, over 5,000 miles. So it's got to be super durable.
Wow. Cool article. And that's up now?
Not yet. That's one I'm working on for this week.
You know what? When you get a chance, send us a link to that, and we will share that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Kristen, how can folks keep track of you and your work?
Probably the best place is on Popular Science, but I also do write for, I had my first article in Inc. magazine today about an electric RV that pitches itself. if you just look for Kristen Shaw and Cars, you'll find me.
Sounds good. Send us a link to that article too, please.
I will.
All right, that was Kristen Shaw. Kristen, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back,
Quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
Did you know the Chicago Auto Show offers much more than just cars? Every year, there's something new to experience, and 2025 is no different. This year, take a thrilling ride on one of two indoor mountain climbs with either Ford or Jeep, and decide who conquers the challenge best. Come experience the latest electrified vehicles on two indoor tracks where you'll feel the power and performance. Take a trip into the national parks and adopt a dog with Subaru. Dream about a lavish lifestyle at the Supercar Gallery. Get behind the wheel to test drive vehicles on city streets. And don't miss new exhibits at the show like Overlanding Chicago or the Family Zone. Join us for an indoor run, craft beer tasting, career day, and so much more. It's an experience you won't forget. The Chicago Auto Show, February 8th through the 17th at McCormick Place. Find out more and buy tickets online at chicagoautoshow.com. The Chicago Auto Show. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. It's Jill's birthday.
Yes, it is. Thank you for mentioning that.
And she has a huge donut in front of her.
I do. I've already taken a couple of bites. It was really good.
These are your favorites.
These are my favorites.
The big cinnamon twisty things.
Well, yeah, cinnamon rolls.
These are glazed, not covered with cinnamon sprinkle stuff.
No, they are the glazed, like the real, like big cinnamon rolls. Like it's bigger than my head.
How hard is that?
It's not that hard, actually.
Bigger than my head. A pastry larger than my head would be a substantial treat.
That would be uneatable in one sitting, I think.
Somewhere in Wheeling, there's a burrito place that advertises burritos bigger than your head.
There was a place downtown in Chicago also that had burritos bigger. It might be a chain.
It might be a minor chain.
But I remember,
I
want
to say I ate there once.
People would go there after a night of drinking. Yeah. Not that I was ever one of those people.
That's what burritos are for.
Exactly, at 4 a.m.
All right. Yeah, let's just get this social media thing out of the way.
Okay. TikTok is still a thing. I thought it was going to go. It did go dark for 12 hours over the weekend, but it's back up momentarily, maybe for 90 days, maybe not. I don't know. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky. I'm on all the things at Jill Simonello, and I use the hashtag #CarDuJour. So if you're on a social medium, I'm probably there. And if you don't know how to spell my last name, car du jour, like soup du jour.
Because it's your birthday, I'm not going to remind you that I'm totally kicking your ass in the Blue Sky contest.
No, not at all. So the end of that story is stop following Tom and go follow me instead. Unfollow Tom and go follow me. That would be my birthday present.
I can't see how that plea would work.
Go follow me for my birthday. That would be, it's my birthday present.
We're just calling attention to the contest, which probably gets us equal amounts of attention,
No, you should follow me instead
anyway,
for my birthday.
It's your birthday, so I don't want to call it out, but the score is 301, I think, to 256, something like that. Yeah. So I'm winning.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You're actually trying to get followers, and I'm not.
I'm not actually trying.
Are you advertising when you go on radio shows?
That's not trying. That's just regular promotion.
That's trying. This is the only time every week that I mention that I'm on Blue Sky.
Okay, here's the deal. If you were on a radio show, would you not mention it?
I would just say find me on social media.
What did you just do?
I did mention it, but I didn't say find me on Blue Sky only.
Anyway, people should follow me on Blue Sky.
No.
Oh, wait, this was your turn.
Yeah, it was my turn.
All right, my bad.
Yeah.
But I've never asked people not to follow you.
Yeah, I'm asking people not to follow you.
All right, it's quiz time.
Okay.
Auto sales came in.
Okay.
Auto sales came in. 2024 auto sales. Today, our quiz is electric car sales.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two electric vehicles. You just have to tell me which one sold better in 2024.
Okay.
How hard can this be?
Super hard.
Nah. Also, the bonus question was supplied by my daughter, my science officer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll get to the bonus question in a moment. Are you ready? Five questions plus the bonus question. You need three total of all of them to win. All right. Ready? The Subaru Solterra or the Toyota BZ4X? Which sold better in 2024? Here's a hint, they're the same vehicle.
Oh, believe me, I know that they are the same vehicle. And what's really interesting is the Subaru Solterra has the Toyota infotainment system, which makes it infinitely better.
I like the Solterra a lot, actually. I wish it was cheaper. Also, the BZ4X got a big price cut for 2025.
Yeah.
It needs range, but if you don't need all that range, nice car.
Yeah. I almost want to say that the Subaru Solterra sold better, and here's my logic, because I think Subaru people are more amenable to EVs than Toyota people.
That makes some demographic sense, I think.
Yeah, so that's
some sociographic.
I'm making a guess. I have no idea, but Subaru Solterra.
Makes all sorts of sense, but you're wrong.
All right.
Jill, you have no points.
I have no points.
The BZ4X, $18,570. The Solterra, $12,447. We might see more of both of those this year. Toyota did do a big price cut. All right, you have no points. Are you ready? The BMW iX electric crossover or the Cadillac Lyriq electric crossover? The Lyriq, by the way, which is really good looking on the road.
Yes, and by the way, I just have to point out, my mother is calling me right now.
Hi, Mom. So she's definitely not streaming the show.
She is not streaming the show, and she knows that I do the radio show on Mondays, yet it never fails. She always calls me during the show. All right. so I'm going to say BMW iX.
Incorrect. The iX came in at $15,383. The Lyriq at, get this, $28,482.
Wow, because I thought they were having problems getting production on the Lyriq.
They were, but pretty far ago, long ago now.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a stall getting those things out there, but they got a lot of them out there last year. Also, I think it's Cadillac's second best-selling model now, after the Escalade, which Trump saw. All right, you still have no points.
Gosh, I'm tanking this. I've been doing so well this year, and I told you, EV sales, not my thing. Yep. Sales in general, not my thing.
Maybe this one.
Oh, maybe not.
The Ford Mustang Mach-E, which is not a Mustang, or the Hyundai Ioniq 5, both basically compact crossovers, although arguably they're both really hatchbacks.
Yeah, that's a tough one because I know the Mustang Mach-E outsold the regular Mustang for the first time.
Yeah, yeah, we can have a conversation about the future of the regular Mustang.
Since it's the last man standing in its category?
It is, and there's no audience for it anymore.
No.
And it's a fantastic car.
It is.
This makes me sad. But the reality of the situation is that there isn't an audience for those kind of cars anymore.
No. At least not a very large audience.
I'm driving the Subaru BRZ right now.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. Everyone should own one. There should be thousands and thousands of thousands of them. We should be able to see them from here, but no.
Yeah, but if only it weren't rear-wheel drive. If it were all-wheel drive like the rest of the Subarus, 100% yes.
And big guy crushing in size. It's tiny.
I'm fine with, you know, tiny.
Yeah.
Okay, what were my options again?
Mustang Mach-E.
Right.
One of the pioneering EVs, really.
Right.
And the Hyundai Ioniq 5. Not far behind it. Actually, that launched pretty soon afterwards.
Yeah. No, you know, those are both great cars.
Yes, they are.
I'm not feeling confident about it, but I'm going to say Mustang Mach-E.
You're correct.
Oh.
It's pretty close. 51,745. The Hyundai, 44,400.
Okay.
All right, 1 point. All right, you ready?
I have a point.
The Kia EV6.
Okay.
Mechanically pretty closely related to the Ioniq 5 we just discussed, or the Nissan Ariya.
I would love to think that the Aria...
I would love to think that, too.
...sold a lot, but I just... I don't think it has. I have to go with EV6.
You are correct. 21,715. I'm surprised by how few that is.
Yeah.
Versus the Aria, 19,798. Neither one really killing it there.
So, say again what it was, Ioniq 5 versus...
Ioniq 5 was 44,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I feel like initially the EV6 completely...
They should be closer.
Yeah.
Especially because they're close in price, close in size, close in performance.
Yeah.
And styling is, I think, pretty personal on that, but they both look great.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
All right. You've got two. You're in better shape now. You've got two more questions to pull this off.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
The Genesis GV60.
Ooh.
The delightful.
Delightful.
Subcompact electric crossover.
With the little orb that pops up.
Yeah, whatever that's about. It looks like a dentist spit bowl. If you went to an old dentist, the ceramic spit bowl you didn't have?
All right, I don't think the orb looks like a spit bowl.
Don't spit in your Genesis.
No, don't.
All right. Or the Lexus RZ.
Ooh, and the RZ is like the BZ4X and the Solterra.
It is, but relating back to our conversation with Kristen, they did a lot to quiet up that car.
Yeah.
I really like the RZ in terms of driving it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, during the year last year, they introduced the RZ300E, a front drive variant with more range and less power.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the one we always drove was the RZ450E, a delight to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Not especially sporty, but really refined.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the RZ. The only time I've driven it was at the media launch.
Oh, I drove it to Milwaukee from Chicago. So 200 miles round trip.
And I got to drive the model that had the yoke.
Yeah, 200 miles round trip with Pepsi brakes.
With Pepsi brakes.
Yeah.
Did you charge during your Pepsi brakes?
I charged at a hospital up in Milwaukee.
Okay.
There was a, I don't remember the station.
Okay.
But I did charge at a branded station.
Okay. So RZ and what was the other one? I don't even remember now.
GV60. Oh, the little Genesis.
I can't imagine either of those are volume sellers, but I'm going to go with the Genesis.
No.
Oh.
No, the Genesis is not catching buyers. 2,866 buyers last year. The Lexus, 9,697. Neither one of them on anyone's radar. But for a Lexus, it should probably have more range, and it's a little expensive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you need the bonus question.
I do need the bonus question.
As supplied by my daughter, my science officer. You ready?
I'm ready.
This one's really easy and straightforward.
Not even a little bit.
Jill,
okay.
Which of the following is not a venomous species?
Okay.
And we did, in my office, we checked these to confirm today.
Okay.
Three of these are venomous species. One of them is not.
Okay.
The platypus. The slow loris, the northern short-tailed shrew, or the rough green snake?
Platypus?
Platypus. That's what I said.
Platypus.
Yeah, platypus.
I often think of snakes as being venomous, but when I was a kid, I used to play with, like, garden snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not venomous.
Those suckers would bite you, though.
I never got bit. They just didn't like you.
I did.
Yeah, you were mean to it, I'm sure.
I used to mow the lawn foot without shoes on because I was an idiot. I stepped on the same snake twice once. Totally freaked me out.
Well, yeah, then he's definitely going to bite you.
I don't think he bit me then.
Okay.
But it was kind of weird to step on a snake twice while mowing the lawn barefoot. But this is too much about my youth.
Yes. Okay, so what were the middle two?
The platypus was first, the slow loris, which is a primate, the northern short-tailed shrew, which is not surprisingly a shrew, and the rough green snake.
I mean, my temptation would be to say that the snake is venomous, which, since I've completely been horrible with all of my guesses, means it's probably not venomous. So I'm going to say the snake.
Correct.
Huh?
Yeah, the platypus has venomous spurs on its hind legs. The slow loris will bite you. So it's a primate that has venom. I don't know.
In its teeth?
I don't know if it's in its teeth. And the northern short-tailed shrew, also a biting venomous creature. You did pull it off with the bonus question. Here you go. I'm going to give that to you. I forgot to get to something last week.
Okay, and I have something that I need to get to have you tell a story. So.
All right, 7 minutes. We got to get some stuff here. Do you remember Mitch Frumkin?
Yes.
Mitch Frumkin, a fellow Midwest Automotive Media Association member, photographer, historian, and nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch is doing a free show. A free show. If you're in Chicago, you want to catch this at the Orland Park Public Library at 6:30, Monday, February 3rd. It is the history of the Chicago Auto Show.
Okay.
This is free, and you can win auto show tickets.
Okay.
6:30, Orland Park Public Library. If you have questions, contact Mitch at drive@flash.net.
Okay.
I've seen the show before, or I've seen him put together. It's very good.
Okay.
So, and for people who don't know, Mitch Frumkin wrote a book with Jim Mattea.
Yes.
The first 100 years about the history of the Chicago Auto Show going up to the 100th
I believe I have that
anniversary.
Book.
Yeah, I do too. Actually, yeah. Super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to miss this if you can catch it.
Okay.
All right, you?
All right. So I was at the Detroit Auto Show a couple weeks ago.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, you've heard of it. And I bumped into one of our automotive colleagues, Craig Cole.
Yes.
And he told me a funny story about you that I had not heard before.
I don't know that Craig Cole knows a funny story about me.
He said to ask you about Sherman Cicero Dodge.
not today.
And celebration pants.
He's been talking to Kirk Bell.
Yes.
Long story short.
Okay.
And it's a very, very, very long story. It goes 60,000 words. Kirk Bell and I used to work together at Consumer Guide.
Yes.
And someone had spammed us. And we engaged the spammer and kept him on the hook for like 60,000 words worth of exchanges. I have the entire exchange. But Cicero Sherman Dodge was his guy in Chicago that was supposed to send him $5,000. That money never got sent. But that's... Yeah, it's a long story. Also, Cicero Sherman Dodge. Sherman Dodge is actually a dealership on Cicero in probably Niles.
Okay.
So that's that story. Very funny question. We don't really have time to get into that.
Do you have time to talk about celebration pants?
No.
Because that was a part of the story, right?
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Once we had concluded, once we had concluded our business, we were going to wear celebration pants. Man, I haven't thought about this in 15 years.
So there you go. You know, it's really funny because you say you're a funny guy, and I think this just kind of proves it. You are funny.
Yeah, we have to do something with that. We literally have hundreds of exchanges with this guy who would scam us. And towards the end, it fell apart because clearly they had moved it on to some other scammer. Like, obviously, the opportunity rating on our particular contact probably went down, so they gave us to an intern scammer.
Okay.
Because the fun went out of it. Yeah, I just kept sending stuff. And they're like, yeah, right, send us the money. Like, oh, this isn't fun anymore.
It's like, you're no fun.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Corvette.
Yes.
Corvette ZR1.
Yes.
So every time they launch a Corvette, we eventually get a Z06.
Yes.
Which is faster.
Yes.
And a ZR1, which is absurd.
Yes.
The ZR1 is now out.
Yay. I saw that in Detroit.
Did you hear the prices?
No.
The prices are interesting because they seem absurd for a Corvette.
Okay.
But for a car with this potential, it seems like a bargain.
Okay.
So the
1,000 horsepower?
1,064 horsepower. Corvette ZR1 starts at $174,995 for the coupe and $184,995 for the convertible, which is really, frankly, a bargain.
Yes.
This is an awful lot of fast. Car and Driver, I think it was Car and Driver, got this car to 60 in 2.6 seconds. And it's not all-wheel drive, and it's not electric, and it managed to do that.
Yeah.
So there you have it. That's out, I think, now. And then I don't want to step on Jennifer's toes, but I think the reveals might be the new hybrid versions of the Subarus that are coming. Have those been shown anywhere in public?
I don't know. I do know that there are two things that are coming, and a group of journalists actually have already seen it. I was not one of those people, so I don't know what it is.
Oh, well, I'm not under embargo, and I read this someplace, so there's a hybrid... There's a hybrid version coming of the Forester.
Yes.
Which is cool. And then a hybrid version with the exact same engine of the Crosstrek.
Crosstrek, yeah.
But it's a 2.5 liter engine featuring Toyota hybrid technology.
Yeah.
So it pays to be Toyota's friend.
Yes.
And you get this. So, but these will be the most powerful versions of both of these cars.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I know that they had a hybrid Crosstrek previously and it just didn't do well.
It did not. You want to know what's crazy? John Williams, afternoon host on WGN Radio, has a Crosstrek hybrid.
Hmm.
This guy isn't buying cars very often.
No, it's a unicorn.
Yeah, because it was out for like a season or two.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it, and especially if they are in partnership with Toyota. I have a feeling it's going to be really excellent.
Yeah, and then it's close to 200 horsepower, so these will be the most powerful versions of these vehicles.
Okay.
And if you've driven a Crosstrek, you'll have one complaint. A little slow.
I mean, it's good for what it is.
It is, but a little more spunk.
Okay, so will have spunk.
All right. Guess what we did?
We talked a lot about cool things today.
Busy show.
Yes.
So thanks to Kristen Shaw for joining us today. Thank you for Jennifer Miranda at the Chicago Auto Show. Chicago Auto Show, February 8th through some later date.
through some later date. I don't know. Thanks for writing that down in your notes. Thanks for being prepared
17th,
today.
The 17th, which is a Monday.
Okay.
Isn't that President's Day usually?
Yeah.
So that's a good day to take the family.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jill, and thank you to producer Randy. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.